Chapter 119. Now that's a long psalm. 176 verses, I think. We're only going to choose one of them, only one, and a short one at that, verse 41. Psalm 119, verse 41. And we'll read it together because this is a prayer that I think we can make to the Lord continually. Let's read. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful that's a prayer that the Lord would sanction and delight to answer. His mercies, his salvation according to his word. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. The word of the Lord is powerful. We have recognized that from our own experiences and what the Lord has done for us, how he's provided, how he's ministered. And we look into what the word of God has to say about God's word itself and the examples of his power. In Genesis chapter 1, 10 times it says, God said. God said. 10 times in that first chapter. One preacher said, these are actually the 10 commandments of God that have never been broken. Commandments by the Lord, and they've never been broken. The Ten Commandments, on the other hand, that Moses carried down from the mountain have never been kept. In fact, Moses was the first one to break them all. And he threw those tablets down at the idolatry of the people. And they couldn't even hold on to a promise and the presence of God for 40 days. But, oh, I'm thankful for God's creative power because that still applies. David gave that heartfelt prayer when he had committed sin, and he recognized he needed to be cleansed of that sin. His prayer was, create in me a clean heart, O God. He knew the creative power of God. He knew how great God had spoken everything into existence, but he knew it needed to be personal. Let your mercies come also unto me, O Lord. And create in me a clean heart. I'm thankful the Apostle Paul continued that idea or that application of creation. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, he declares, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Thank God for new creation that God is able to bring out of our lives. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Thank God, the old way of living, the old way of talking, the old way of doing are passed away. And God brings newness into our lives. He brings creation into our experience. He changes the way things operate within our lives because of his powerful word. And he is faithful to that word. 1 Kings 8 and 56 declares, not one word of all of his good promise has failed. Amen. He is that promise keeper. He is that way maker. Thank God we can put our trust in him. Hallelujah. And to 1,000 generations, he keeps his word. Amen. Oh, I'm glad the Lord is faithful to his word. And it's interesting that the psalmist would use this phrase, according to thy word, in Psalm 119. We read of one of them in there in verse 41. But all together in Psalm 119, that phrase, according to thy word, is used 8 times. The confidence that the psalmist had in that word of God. The realization that he knew God would fulfill his word. And I pray, God, let us have that kind of confidence in your word today. Let us not just allow it to slide or to be put on the shelf, as it were. because of man's opinions, because of the direction of society, because of the thoughts of philosophy and ideas. Oh no, thank God the word of the Lord can be foremost in our minds and in our hearts. The Lord would declare, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. It's very significant that Matthew and Mark and Luke all wrote it down exactly the same. They all wrote it the same way that Jesus declared, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Thank God we can put our trust in that eternal word of God. Peter wrote these words about the word of God. 1 Peter 1:23, the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Thank God the word of the Lord is alive and powerful. The word of the Lord is alive and steadfast. The word of the Lord is alive and abides forever. In verse 25 of that same chapter, he wrote, the word of the Lord endureth forever. Ever. Oh, thank God. Forever is the application of the word of the Lord. It will abide forever. Glory to God. And it's the combination of this truth and salvation that is so powerful. Jesus declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm thankful he can make that claim, not because he was trying to be a comedian, not because he was trying to claim something that didn't belong to him, but because he is God manifest in the flesh. Hallelujah. He would say in John 17:17, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. Hallelujah. And that is not a contradiction of Jesus saying, I am the truth, and then declaring the word is truth, because Jesus is the word made flesh. Praise God. And dwelt among us, John wrote, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Moreover, Jesus would say, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There's that creative power again. The creative power of God to make something out of nothing. To make something right that was once wrong. To make something appropriate that was once incorrect. To make something incorruptible that was once corruptible. Thank God we can be born again. Jesus said, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, sinners were born again. Hallelujah. And he would write again, we are born again by the incorruptible word of God, according to his word. It's no wonder that Mary was selected to be the one who would give birth to the Messiah. When the angel gave the message about God's plan to her and how she would give birth, her response was, be it unto me according to thy word. Oh yes, she wanted the word of God fulfilled in her life. And so she gave birth. And then that 12-year-old that she gave birth to is in the temple with the Hebrew authorities, hearing them and asking them questions, people being astonished at his understanding and his answers because he's only 12 years old. Barely in the youth group, 12 years old, and discussing the word of the Lord with those who are so familiar with it. As a 30-year-old, Jesus and the beginning of miracles had Mary tell the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Amen. Do it, Brother Aaron. Amen. Let the word of God be fulfilled in your life. Do whatever he says for you to do. That's still good advice. That's still good advice. Hallelujah. For one who wants to be the servant of the Lord. And Mary took it upon herself to follow her own advice. Whatever he says, do it. She obeyed the command to tarry in Jerusalem after her heart was thrilled with the reports of resurrection, after she saw her risen son, after she was with him for 40 days. She obeyed the word of the Lord, and she went to Jerusalem to tarry for the promise of the Father, wanting to be endued with power from on high. Mary and her other sons, Jesus' brothers, waited in the upper room with all the 120, and suddenly, hallelujah, thank God, the Lord knows how to fulfill his word. The Lord knows how to bring it to pass. The Lord knows how to fill you with his spirit. Hallelujah. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And all who received Peter's words, all who gladly received his words, were baptized in the name of Jesus. Oh, and I'm sure Mary was so thankful as she could look back on her life and recognize the plan of salvation began to unfold when she declared, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And she was so thankful. That was still her attitude. That was still her purpose. That was still her goal. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the Lord fulfilled his word in her life as well. And all that believe on him can receive it. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, Jesus declared. You believe as the scripture said, according to his word, as the scripture said, amen, his spirit will flow out, and all that believe on him should receive according to his word. Now, salvation, you would think there would be long definitions in the Hebrew and Greek of that word. You would think there would be much involved there, but it simply means in the Hebrew, rescue. Rescue. And many times God did rescue his people. Right from the beginning, Adam and Eve, in their fallen state, in their disobedience, in their endorsement of sin, the Lord rescued them from eating of the tree of life and continuing in that fallen state and in not being redeemed. But thank the Lord, he provided a plan and a way. Israel being rescued out of Egypt. How incredible and how amazing we have that story. And there's more Hebrew definitions of salvation when you turn to Isaiah 12 and 3. Thank God, with joy you can draw water out of the wells of salvation. In the Hebrew, it means something saved. It means deliverance. It means aid and victory and prosperity. Thank God, the Lord has declared there is water that is refreshing. There is water that is life-giving. There is water that is a type of the Spirit. And thank God we can receive it and know how powerful it is to be able to walk with the Lord in salvation. Hallelujah. And know his deliverance and know his aid and know his victory and know the prosperity that he desires to give. Thank God that we can know that blessing and power. It's no wonder that Peter would declare to the religious authorities who were calling him in question. It's no wonder that he will boldly say, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Thank God for that salvation. In the Greek, it means rescue. It means safety, both physically and morally. Thank God we're able to step into that realm and know the power of the Lord to deliver, the power of the Lord to bring victory, the power of the Lord to give safety, the power of the Lord to help you to overcome morally. Hallelujah. And to be brought into the place of knowing his power and his blessing. He said that repentance and remission of sins would be preached in his name, beginning at Jerusalem. And sure enough, Peter preached repentance and remission of sins in the name of Jesus on the day of Pentecost as they came down from that upper room, and the power of God was displayed in a mighty way. so great salvation. Amen. Hebrews 2 and 3 asks the very important question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Oh, hear me, saint of God. The devil would like nothing more than for you to rejoice about what God has done in your life in the past. He would like for you to focus on what God has done for you and in the foregoing years or months. But then he would like for you to just neglect your salvation here and now. Neglect your salvation in the future, as though it was just something you could rely upon from your past. Oh no, we're not going to escape if we neglect so great salvation. But thank God, if we don't neglect that salvation, if we hold on to that salvation, if that salvation is alive and well, powerful and present tense, thank God, there is an escape that will bring us into the place of victory. There is an escape that will bring the deliverance of the Lord. So great salvation. Why does it have to be so great? Because sin is so damaging and destructive. Because sin is so captivating and imprisoning. But oh, thank God, so great salvation in order to change lives. Amen. And it had to be great in order to change some of your lives. Amen. But look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God for changed lives. Peter, who denied the Lord those three times, but now is the preacher on Pentecost because of the Lord's mercy and the how he can change lives. Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. Cornelius, the Roman centurion, who became a Christian, tongue-talking, baptized in Jesus' name. The Philippian jailer, baptized in the early hours of the morning because he couldn't wait for the name of Jesus to be called over him and all of his household. Thank God, so great salvation that changes lives and it keeps lives changed. That's what the devil doesn't like. That's why he would like for you to neglect salvation, because he doesn't want for you to stay changed. He recognizes the change that God brought into your life by so great salvation, but he wants it to stagnate. He wants it to stalemate. He wants it to just grow old and stale and just be a memory. But thank God, so great salvation is powerful. It keeps moving in our lives. It keeps delivering. It keeps healing. It keeps bringing the power of God, and it keeps us changed. Amen. That's according to the Word of God. Now let's not forget it. What else is according to the Word of God? There's a hell to avoid. There's a hell that we've got to stay out of. There's a hell that was not made for you. It was made for the devil and his angels. And the Bible tells us, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 9, God hath not appointed us to wrath. That's not the appointment that God has for you. Wrath is not that appointment, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What an important appointment. What a divine appointment. You have that appointment. You may have missed a doctor's appointment. You may have missed a dentist appointment. You may have missed any number of appointments, but don't miss this appointment. Obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can avoid the wrath that would come upon the world. According to his word, there's hell and punishment. Oh, some would beg the question. Some would cry it out and make it as though it would be an excuse for their lifestyle. God won't send anybody to hell. God doesn't send people to hell. It's their lifestyle and their choices that send them to hell. They make the wrong choices. They go the wrong way. They go the broad way, the wide gate, the way that's convenient, the way that's easy, the way that's comfortable. But the way to eternal life is straight. It's narrow. And you have to make the choice to go that direction. It would seem to be a simple choice, an easy choice. Romans 6 and 23 lets us know there's a difference between wages and a gift. There's a difference between life and death. And we should make that choice very simply. The wages of sin is death. I'm going to avoid that. I'm not going to work for those wages. I want the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But I've got to make that choice every day. Amen. I've got to follow through with it all the time. Praise God. Not just one time, all the time. Making that choice. I want the gift of God. I want eternal life through Jesus Christ my Lord. I'm not going to let the devil trick me into working for wages of death through sin. Amen. Oh, thank God for his mercies that he's extended unto us. I think about Moses and mercy, a learning process for him. No mercy on the taskmaster that he killed and buried in the sand. No mercy for him. Moses had to learn mercy. And he learned it probably as a shepherd. He learned mercy so that he could pray, God, if you're going to eliminate this people, blot out my name. Blot out my name. If you're not going to forgive them for worshiping this golden calf, we were pretty stupid in the first place. But if you're not going to forgive them, then blot out my name. Mercy. He began to glimpse it. He began to exercise it. He began to hold on to it. He requested to see the glory of God. All the presence of the Lord that he wanted. If your presence doesn't go with us, he said, don't take us up to that place. That's how much he valued the presence of God and the glory of God. I beseech thee, he said, show me thy glory. And thank God the Lord would declare, all of my goodness will pass before thee. Amen. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And the Lord said, there is a place by me. Praise God. And Moses learned the value of being in that place. And I pray, oh God, help us as your people today. Help us as your people who have been called by your name and filled with your spirit. Help us to stay in that place that's by you. Help us, Lord, not to wander in the paths of sin and the wilderness of sin, but to stay where you want us to be. Moses heard the voice of God many times, the burning bush. The directions that he gave to Moses and Aaron concerning the plagues, the stepping forth into the Red Sea, the supply of water and of manna and of quail, Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments, the tabernacle, the furniture. He heard the voice of God. But I think it's quite significant that Numbers 7 and 89, what a long chapter, 7 and 89, he heard the voice of one speaking unto him from off the mercy seat. That's where he heard the voice of God. Many, many times hearing that voice in various circumstances. But now, after the Ark of the Covenant had been constructed, after the gold had been overlaid, after all of its beauty and its function and its purpose to represent the presence of God, he hears the voice of one speaking unto him from off the mercy seat. Thank God for the mercy of the Lord. The pure gold, the two cherubims on each end of that platform facing each other with their wings extended and looking down on the mercy seat, because that's where the blood of the Lamb would be sprinkled to cover the wrongdoing of the people of God against the Ten Commandments. Amen. And oh, thank God, the ark being symbolic of the presence of the Lord and looking ahead to Jesus and the sacrifice that he would make and the time that Mary would come to the tomb and find two angels, one at the head of where Jesus laid on the tomb and one at the feet, as though to remind her there is an ark of the covenant where the blood has been sprinkled and God's mercy and God's forgiveness and God's salvation would be applied in such a powerful way because of the sacrifice of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 5 and 10. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Moses wrote it down. Deuteronomy 7 and 9. The faithful God which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Moses would write it down according to the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. And he learned about mercy. Thank God for the mercies of the Lord. Psalm 103. Verse 4, we're redeemed from destruction. We're crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. In verse 17 of that same chapter, his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Thank God for the eternal nature of his mercy. You look at Psalm 136 and 26 times, every verse ends with the same phrase. His mercy endureth forever. Oh, I'm thankful that the power of the Lord is able to come and bring encouragement and strength. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be dismayed. I can stand upon the promise of the Word of God and know His mercy endures forever. It's from everlasting to everlasting. When I make a mistake and the devil comes with his condemnation and accusation, I'm glad I can stand on the mercy. I'm glad I can hold on to the mercy. I'm thankful I can ask God for his mercy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In Lamentations 3 and 22, his mercy keeps us from being consumed. We deserve to be consumed after the stupid mistakes we make sometimes. We deserve to be cut off. But his mercies keep us from being consumed. His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. And let me remind you, that's not a license to live however we want to live. That's not a license to keep on sinning when we know it's wrong. No, it's to hold on to the mercies of the Lord. Change me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Oh, deliver me, Lord. That's why he included in the prayer, the model prayer that he gave us, deliver us from evil. Amen, because he delights in doing that. Mercies in the Hebrew simply means kindness. Kindness. Thank God for his kindness. In the Greek, it means the guilt and power of sin is removed by God's grace so that the misery of sin and its eternal consequences can be alleviated. Mercy for salvation. Ephesians 2 and 4, God is rich in mercy and the great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, thank God he provided that mercy. Now, there's no mercy in nature. No mercy in nature. The earthquake that we experienced a few weeks ago, the tsunami warning that came, had there been a tsunami and had that earthquake been centered in a populated area, the disaster would have been great. An avalanche comes racing down, all the beauty that is on that mountain top, all the wonder of all of that, and it can snuff lives out so fast. Hurricanes, typhoons, you know what I'm talking about. Catastrophes and disasters, there's no mercy in nature. I'm glad I know where mercy is. Thank God, thy mercies come also unto me. Make it personal today. Come to me, Lord. I need your mercy. I need your salvation. That personal application, that is so important. Amen. Thank God for the power of the Lord that brings mercy and salvation. Hallelujah. The goodness of God leads you to repentance. Romans 2 and 4, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering? Wow, look at that, those qualities of the Lord. Look at his love, his goodness, his forbearance, his longsuffering. Thank God he extends that to us again and again. The goodness of God leads you to repentance. Hallelujah. Now here's the ministry part of it. The ministry part that you can step into. The ministry phase that I want you to be a part of in 2018. Praise God. Here's the prophecy, Brother Mike. The goodness of God that's displayed in you. The goodness of God that the Lord reveals for your benefit on your behalf is what people are going to behold, is what people are going to see. That's how they can witness the goodness of God. They don't pray for the goodness of God. They use God's name in vain. Profanity flows out of their mouths. They don't want to have anything to do with Jesus Christ or God or Lord or anything else. They just are going to live the way they want to live. But somehow, they see your life. They see the change. They see the goodness of God. There's going to be a desire within them to come to that place of repentance. I prophesy when you smile through the miles. I prophesy when your tears flow through the test. But God brings it out for your best. That God is going to display his goodness. That God is going to show his power. That God is going to reveal his goodness. And people are going to say, how does that happen? What takes place? What is working here on your behalf? And you're going to be able to tell them what the Word of God says about mercy and about salvation. And the hand of God is going to be displayed in a powerful and wonderful way. Because your confidence, and according to God's word, all things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. You've not checked out of his purpose. You've not cast it aside. You've continued in that salvation. You've continued in that place where his goodness is being displayed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Moreover, Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Until the day that he comes for his people. Until the day that you rise in glory with those who have been risen first. And we meet the Lord together in the air. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand with me now, please. Glory to God. Oh, I'm thankful we can experience God's mercy. God's mercy. Hallelujah. I don't deserve it. I can't comprehend it. And I'm so thankful I can receive it. So thankful I can rejoice in it. Because his mercy brings salvation. Salvation not to be repented of. Salvation so great. According to his word. I can't deviate from this word. I can't change it for my convenience. I can't alter it to fit in with the times and make it relevant with the 21st century. No, according to his word is the way it's powerful. According to his word is the way it's effectual. According to his word is the way it's victorious. And that's what I'm going to hold on to. Hallelujah. Thank God. The promise is unto you and to your children. I look out here today And there have been children filled with the Holy Ghost, children baptized in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. And His power can be displayed in every child. Amen. Every adult, every individual can receive from the Lord. And let that prayer of the psalmist be their prayer as well. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. Hallelujah. Let's come and pray here for a few minutes. Let's make our calling and election sure. Let's make sure that salvation is still ours. It's fresh, it's new, it's powerful, it's alive. Hallelujah. 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 Let His power be displayed on your behalf today. Oh, yes, go ahead and talk in tongues again. Go ahead and worship the Lord again. Go ahead and believe Him for His power and His promises right now. Again, today, hallelujah. Don't let the devil cheat you out of it. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. Oh, no, this is yours. It belongs to you. He died for you. Hallelujah. He rose again for you. Oh, yes, thank God for His power. Thank God for His promise. Thank God for His goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. All of your power, all of your goodness, all of your strength, Lord.